At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
Hello and welcome to the Sunday League Pundit Show, episode 38. You have myself, Stretch, my very good friend on camera, Jim Jam.
Howdy.
And my very good friend off camera, Tin Ribs.
Hello.
How are we, boys?
Wonderful.
Good, good, good. Glad to hear it. You sound a bit chirpy than last week, anyway.
England played well for a game.
Like, you all right, boys, last week? Yeah, brilliant. Oh, God, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? Do we have a Jim Jam of the Statman stacked this week?
Yeah, I just thought I'd keep it rather simple this week as watching a game midweek and a record was broken for the Euros of the youngest goal scorer ever.
Certainly was, and what a goal.
What a goal.
Absolutely screaming.
What a goal.
And
against
what a
France
player.
As well.
16.
Very good.
Very what good. Is it with I the believe... Spanish and really young superstar forwards?
You say that, but we've had Rooney and Owen. It's not like we've never had one.
Yeah, but like I said, they had Fernando Torres. What was he, 15, 16 when he entered his first major tournament? With his little skinhead looking like a little yobbo. And he was unreal. And now you've got Yamal, who is just absolutely screaming it up. It's just where they
Fabregas years ago. He was great as well. He used to go forward a lot. Right. I did pick up a stat myself during the week. And the only reason I want to bring it up is because I genuinely didn't believe it until I actually Googled it. But Rodri, in his last 80 competitive games, be it club or country, right?
Hmm.
Do you want to have a guess how many games he's lost in the last 80?
One
game in the last 80.
The cup final to Man United. He's
drawn 16, lost one, and won 63 of his last 80 competitive games.
Yeah, he hasn't lost for Spain for 470 days. Yeah.
What an absolute...
Why do you think, when I started my dream team...
I'm hoping that comes to an end today and Manu destroys that record again today, although it won't be today when you're listening to
this. By all accounts, Luke Shaw starts. Yeah, the issue we've got is, obviously, with Sunday League Pundit Show, we record it on a Sunday. It's kind of how it goes. And the final is literally straight after we've recorded this pod. And we're going to go live, watch along while we're watching the game.
Yeah, so join us for that watch along if you can.
I mean, it's 2 days late, but come join. I'll tell you what you could do, though, is you could go on to YouTube and watch the watch along and see how
we react.
Stressed, happy, annoyed, angry, disturbed, emotionally drained. I'm going to delete as applicable depending on how the game goes. So yeah, you can follow us along. But yeah, one defeat in 80 games. That's just, it's insanity. I know one player doesn't make a team like, but...
No, but he was still the first player I put on my dream team.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Which seems a really good place to play the music. Hello, 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 and a welcome to the Sunday League Pundit Show. Thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it. What we would like you to do, we don't do this very often, but if you could head over to YouTube, type in Sunday League Pundit Show, give us a subscribe. If you're listening on audio, if you could give us a nice cheeky 5-star rating and give us a really good report, that would be great, because it does help us out a lot. And we don't ask very often. And when we do, we don't ask for a lot. And we're giving back because of the Fantasy Football League we're doing next year.
Yeah.
So for those that haven't heard, we are giving away a football shirt of your choice for the winner. It will be UK only because postage is an absolute nightmare outside the UK, unfortunately. We're not at a point where we can ship worldwide just yet. So yeah, UK only, but get sharing this, get it around. Let's get as many people involved as possible. It's not going to cost you anything. It's free to join. And a couple of weeks maybe before the season starts, we'll put out a short with all the information, the name of the league, the password. It'll be the Premier League app that we're using. basically because
everybody
we're
knows
in the Premier League and it's going to be Premier League. So that's the app that we're going to use. We'll give all the information out week and a half, 2 weeks before the season starts. So yeah, keep an eye out for that. Join in. And if you do win or come second to one of us, then you will win a shirt of your choice. I'm looking that way because Jim Jam last week said, well, I want the shirt if I win. No, it doesn't work like that. We get nothing. It's sponsored by us. We haven't got a sponsor at the minute, so we're the ones paying out for it. So he's not getting it.
Now, I haven't won that one.
You won which one?
I haven't won that one yet.
No.
You haven't won this one either.
I've got a nice like 30-point lead, but, you know.
Yeah, but you don't get the prize anyway.
No, I don't.
I think Ryan's second at the minute.
I believe
he?
So,
yeah.
I think Ryan's second, so Ryan will get it. We'll go into that in a bit more in the second half. Has anybody heard about Marseille's look at Mason Greenwood and what, nothing to do with the football club, but what the mayor of Marseille has said about him? Have you heard anything?
No, I imagine it's not gone well by that term.
Not exactly. Put it this way, if you're Mason Greenwood right now, you really don't want to go to Marseille. And you don't want to go anywhere near the mayor of Marseille. Because you remember when them videos first came out,
yeah,
and the sound recordings of Mason Greenwood with his girlfriend, who, by the way, he's still with. Right, so in the eyes of the law, he's an innocent man. Whatever way you want to look at it, don't shoot the messenger. I'm not saying whether he's innocent or guilty. In the eyes of the law, he's innocent because she dropped charges. Now, the mayor of Marseille has basically turned around and said Marseille is better than that, and people of his standard should be nowhere near France, let alone Marseille. He shouldn't even be allowed in the country. We don't agree with rapists and attackers and domestic violence. These are not my words. These are the words of the mayor of Marseille. He did not hold back. Like, at all.
Mm.
He went all out to say exactly what he thought of Mason Greenwood, and none of it was nice. What are your thoughts? Is he entitled to his opinion?
Everybody's entitled to opinion.
That's exactly what I agree with as well. Is he entitled to voice them opinions worldwide?
I think
one of the problems we've got across here is where he's in a position of power. So he's obviously a public figurehead.
Mm-hmm.
He's an influential person. There's got to be a level of professionalism.
Yes, I'd agree.
Yes, we all have the right to speak our minds.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, in the court
publicly.
Of law... Yeah, publicly, absolutely. But in the court of law and the way the law works, he's innocent. Obviously, we now live in a world of social media, which is ruining everybody's life and ruining everything for everyone.
Yep.
It's kangaroo court every day. Every day is a kangaroo court. You're guilty before innocent, guilty without any form of evidence. You are just guilty. If someone says something, you are guilty. Simple as that. Now, this isn't me saying that Greenwood is innocent. I just want to put that out there. But the fact of the matter is, by law, he is innocent. So a public figurehead like that shouldn't be blasting out stuff like that, because Greenwood could go and sue him. You could have him for defamation of character and slander.
See, now this is where I was going with it. And what I'm saying is, I agree that everybody's entitled to their opinion. But are you entitled to voice that opinion publicly? On the world stage? I don't think you are.
That's what I'm saying. He's a public figurehead.
Yeah. I don't think you are allowed to voice... He's allowed to have his opinion. Mm. And he's allowed to tell the owners and directors of Marseille Football Club. He is more than entitled to sit down in a meeting with them and say, this is how we feel as members of Marseille. If our football club sign in, we're not going to be happy. This, that and the other. I've got no problem with that. Voice your opinion, that's fine. But voicing your opinion on the world stage. Like, even us, we have strong opinions. And I'm relatively certain my actual feelings, thoughts and opinions on Liverpool will come out at some point. And I assure you, I will get annihilated for them. Which I don't really care, to be honest.
We know it will. I think you've done well the number of episodes we've done that it actually hasn't come out.
It will.
Yet.
It will. I've got more. Think we will just stop recording there and be back in a minute. I'm fairly certain my thoughts, feelings, and opinions on Liverpool, my actual thoughts, feelings, and opinions on Liverpool will come out at some point because they are quite strong and they are not exactly popular.
Oh, we know. I'm quite surprised it's taken this long before it's come out
I am,
already.
To be honest.
You're doing well.
But again, it's the whole social media, this day and age. I get that we're not exactly on the world stage, although we have had downloads all the way from Basingstoke to Afghanistan. Yes, we've had listeners in Afghanistan and more than one download from Afghanistan as well, which I find mind-boggling. USA, Spain, Sydney. Netherlands, Sweden, Sydney, we've had a few. Yeah. So we have had downloads from literally all over the world.
Thing is, though, if it does grow and gets more and more successful than previous...
People will end up going back and they'll listen to it.
Because you see it on social media, don't you, where, like,
things
a celebrity
like
done,
years
they're, like, 14 years old and they tweet something, then, and then 20 years later, they're like, you've got this opinion because you did this at 14 and you're, like, 34 now.
It's like now, like one of the most popular things in the world, Friends. Now they're all being made to apologise for Friends because it was sexist and it was racist and it was this and it was that. No, back then it was okay. It was funny. It was popular. The most popular.
Yeah.
Like Grange Hill. Have you gone back and watched Grange Hill lately? Holy crap. That was daytime telly.
Yeah.
For kids.
I mean,
and you
I
go
like
back
me
and listen to
fools.
It now and like even me, and I'm quite liberal. But even I watch some of that Grange Hill stuff now and I'm like, wow. I can't believe that sort of stuff was on TV all them years ago.
You know what? I'm going to say this, and this will go against a lot of people's opinion. But the one thing that really grates my shit at the moment is the word problematic. That's problematic. They did problematic things. The only thing problematic is the prick that brought up the fucking fact that it was problematic.
I'm sorry, you lost me after you gave me the image of waiting shit. That stuck with me a lot longer than it should have done. That was disturbing.
But no, it's just like, just because one person finds it offensive or an issue doesn't make it problematic. The only problem is you.
For me, Ricky Gervais has got it right, where he says, you've got to stop saying that's offensive.
Yeah.
And you need to start saying, I found that offensive. Because offence is like... pineapple on pizza.
It's subjective.
It's different for everybody.
But it's subjective.
I mean, that is completely and utterly wrong and disgraceful.
Turns out we're not going to fall out today. Pineapple on pizza is just wrong.
Oh, it's wrong on every level.
Wrong. And fruit on breakfast as well, I think it's just beyond the realm. Well, why would you put tomato on a breakfast? It's just...
On a breakfast.
It's not right. Tomato on a cooked breakfast.
You
know what? For some reason,
you were thinking Rice Krispies, weren't you?
Why? No, I was thinking
to be fair, I order it without tomato, and I don't like mushrooms. So,
but you know when you're
on no tomatoes, no mushrooms.
You've got a bit of fungus.
When you said about fruit on breakfast, my head went to like your porridges and your oats and stuff, where people were like,
"No, I'm on about cooked breakfast."
Yeah, but that's where my brain went, and
that's kind of
when you started saying tomatoes, my head went to like a bowl of oats with tomatoes, and I'm thinking, what the fuck are you on?
I'm glad I got him back for the great crap thing. Yeah. Kind of satisfying. Do you know, we've had loads of comments as well, and I'm not going to say it's done intentionally. But I've put a couple of clips up. Like, we were talking a couple of weeks ago, and we'd started the conversation by saying, because Southgate is so defensive, what would your ultra-defensive formation be? I may have not added that bit to the short, and we just went straight into what our formation would be.
Yeah.
And the amount of people underneath going, oh, this is defensive, you're this, you're that, you're so negative, you're the... Mate, if you listen to the podcast, you'd realise. I'm not going to say I do it for attention.
But you did it for
some
attention.
Of the information on the shorts may be missing. There's a reason for that.
But again, this is modern day. Everything is taken out of context.
But then I can play up to that.
Well, you love it.
I can cut out the important bits, just put us talking shite, and then loads of people comment, like calling us left, right and centre, and then it gets... We've had now Now, for me, when we had a short or a video that hit 1,000 views, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I'm messaging you two at like 1 in the morning when I got off for work going, boys, we've just had 1,000 views on this video.
I've got to say, I was pretty excited at like 300-400 was pretty exciting.
I was buzzing. Oh, we've had 400 views on this lake. So I'm messaging you all the time to start with. And then we hit 1,000. I'm like messaging you two at 1 in the morning in our group going, oh my God, boys, we've just hit a K on one video, 1,000. We've had a video on Instagram that's hit 11,000. We've had one on Facebook that's hit 11,000. And I think we're on 9,000 on YouTube for our most. And do you know what all of them are? It's because they've all got the most comments on with people slagging us off. Great. Carry on. I love it. Because the more views we get, the better it is, because it gets us about a bit more. Because I tell you for nothing, the people that actually listen to the podcast, the reason that I've started asking you to subscribe to YouTube and to leave us comments if you listen on the audio medium, and to leave us like, you know, a nice 5-star rating, even though we're near 5 stars. The reason we're asking for that is because the more we can get out, the more people we get to, the more people that download, the more people that listen, the more people we can get involved, the more likely we are to get a sponsor, and then we can start giving stuff away regularly, which is basically where we want to be at. We don't want to start making money so we can give up work. I actually quite enjoy my job as a truck driver. I know he enjoys his job. Jim Jam, sorry, I'm pointing. And it's not showing on screen, but Jim Jam enjoys his job as a layabout, and Tin Ribs enjoys his job as a TV watcher. I don't think you do anything, do you?
I watch paint dry.
Watches paint dry. There you go. So he's got a great job. So we all quite like our jobs. But if we could make a little bit of money each month and maybe do a giveaway for you guys every month, that honestly, I'd be buzzing if we could do that.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't think it'd take much. So, yeah, share us about. Get us pushed about. Get people subscribed. Like I say, leave us comments and leave us 5-star reviews, and we might be able to get there at some point. That'd be great. So, final day, boys.
Final day.
Are you nervous, Jim Jam?
No.
Are you excited, nervous, anxious?
I like the fact that we're going into it as an underdog.
Yeah, me too, to be honest.
Because Spain have definitely been the team of the tournament so far. So
best team of the tournament by a country mile.
Yeah. So if England come out and get a win, then fantastic. Nothing more I want. Still think Southgate should be sacked even if he wins. But unfortunately it looks like 4 more years.
It looks like 4 more years whether he wins or not.
Yeah, so
is what I've been hearing online at the minute, is they're ready to offer him a contract regardless of what happens in the final today. Now,
he had his broken clock moment where he got something right.
The substitutes.
I have a theory on this one. So he's played the whole tournament, and as we said when we were doing the, like, talking about the other games, and they've sort of been idling like at a 1 out of 10 level. And then we had that one game where everyone's going, oh, they played so much better. What, 3 out of 10? We barely scraped through.
Generous three.
But we played
against
a new formation.
No, against Switzerland.
Right. But everyone prior to that.
Generous three.
So anyway, we've been, obviously we're all on social medias. Everybody's saying we should be playing back three, blah, blah, blah. Then all of a sudden, Southgate goes for a back three, and we sort of idle our way through a game. Then we play the dreaded competitive team, and we all know that Southgate cannot beat a competitive team. He hasn't yet, and we've got the Netherlands. All of a sudden, he plays what everyone on social media is saying. We play a 7 out of 10 performance. I'm not going to say any higher, because we were good, but we weren't where we should be. And then he makes the substitutes that social media are banging on about. Not the ones that he normally makes. The ones that everybody on Twitter. So I literally think he's got to the point where we're like, we're struggling. He's gone, what's social media saying? Watkins, put him on.
Right.
Well, talk about the game. So obviously in the first half, for me, everything was brilliant.
Even Foden was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, Foden was top of his game.
Yeah.
So the one player that I thought was struggling a little bit was Trippier on the left. And I was like, we should bring on Luke Shaw. And I was thinking, we're not going to see him till like the 70th minute or 75th minute. It really surprised me that he made that change at half time. And it was absolutely 100% the correct decision.
Completely the right thing to do.
Totally agree. So Foden was awesome in that first half. He was dominating. He had his chances.
Isn't it strange how he plays well when you put him where he's meant to be?
He obviously had that great run. Crazy. Put it under the keeper's legs. I mean, they said it was a good save from the save.
It's all defending.
Good defending.
The fact that the defender's running back and just gets his foot in the right position to stop that ball.
That was very good defending.
Keeper got lucky to get a touch.
Mm. Yeah.
Had to get himself in the right place.
He was in the right place, but the defending, for me, superb. All about the defending.
Really, really good defending.
People were trying to give the keeper too much credit there.
And he hit the post as well. So he was really unlucky not to score on that one. So I couldn't fault Foden at all in that. And then the goal. So we're in the first half, so we'll talk about the goal. Now, for me, Rice was poor in being challenged. I don't think he was strong enough.
I agree.
He got knocked off the ball.
I agree.
Wasn't a foul.
I don't think the pass to him was great.
No.
And I don't think you should pass to somebody that's already under pressure. But he should have been a bit stronger. I agree. But I will defend him.
I'm not going to knock him off. He was superb in that game as well. He was challenging. He was picking up the ball. Great stuff. Social media, ins and out. Pickford, should he save it? Shouldn't he save it?
He could have done better, but it was well hit.
It was well hit. and I think he probably saw it late as well. I think it was blocked. Possibly. Could he have got a hand to it? It's one of them, maybe. But I guess the best person is our goalkeeper analysis from Tin Ribs, who will definitely slate him if he deserves it or say defend him.
It's sort of a... I think if his positioning was slightly better, he'd have saved it. I think his positioning let him down. On his physical attributes of how he's diving and stuff, no problems.
On his positioning?
Yeah.
Are you at any point expecting your DM to be losing it where he lost it?
Not at all.
So you can't really criticise his positioning?
So everything Pickford did...
I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
No. Everything Pickford did, skill-wise, with his dive, his hand... I mean, he missed it by what? A fraction of an inch?
I think he touched it, didn't he? He got his hand on it.
He's got to get more than a fraction of an inch to get onto it.
Yeah.
I think if his positioning had been better, he'd have saved it.
Yeah. So basically, if Holland were actually attacking, he'd have stopped it.
Yeah.
But because he wasn't expecting...
He's caught out. He's in the wrong position.
The same way Rice was. Yeah. So you can't really put...
I'm not blaming Pickford at all.
No. Just, like I say, just playing devil's advocate on the positioning thing. So
we've took the lead. You can't really fault England too much
Do you know it went straight to Trippier as well?
Yeah.
Just to interject quickly. Went straight to Trippier.
Oh, when he calmed down.
Instantly just... Calm down, boys. Yeah. And do you know what? For the first time ever, I looked at him and I thought, do you know what? I believe him.
Yeah.
I believe that's not just for show. I believe he's just going...
It was early enough.
Cool. It's fine.
Yeah, we conceded so him. Early. It was sort of like a...
Yeah, but normally England will concede and you'll see him going, calm down, can't... And you just think, he don't believe that.
Yeah.
He thinks he's screwed and he's just trying to...
play for the cameras.
But he was literally dead calm, just chill out, boys. We're good. And I thought, I believe him.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, it was good. And then, obviously, the penalty. We're now going to talk about... Now, this is going to be
a
different
viewpoint.
And I will
disagree with probably both of you.
Right. So, I'm probably going with my defending head now.
Start initially just with yes or no, and then we'll go into why. So, was it a pen?
No.
Was it a pen?
Yes.
Yes. Why was it not?
It wasn't a penalty because he's making a fair challenge for the ball. I think the contact was very minimal and Kane was definitely... Yeah, but it was from Kane swinging of a foot where he's had the shot and he's followed through and he's...
No, I agree with that. It was from Kane's power.
Now, you don't always see fouls given for a follow through.
You don't? You don't?
Yeah, we do.
No.
Not always.
You don't. But, and this is the only point I'm going to make for any of it, he had his studs up. He went into the challenge, studs showing. It's literally written in the law, you cannot go into a challenge, studs showing, because it's dangerous.
So, I'm going to...
Because you could break bones.
I'm going to interject with two examples of fouls given from a follow-through. You had years and years ago, Leeds went down to 10 men against Man City because Liam Cooper did a big hoof clearance and I think it was Ake ran onto his foot.
Right, it's straight very, red. Very hang on, specific examples you're giving.
Straight red. Then you had the Calvin Phillips issue this year where he's in the box and as he's gone to clear it, was it Gordon stepped his foot in front of him?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that one I remember.
Penalty. That's a follow through. Doesn't matter. Now, the issue with the Harry Kane one is it's a high foot, it's knee height, and it's a stamping motion with studs showing.
Studs showing. That, for me, that's it.
But that's it.
Studs showing.
It is a penalty. It doesn't matter which way you look
anywhere
at it.
Anywhere on the pitch, that's given as a free kick.
Yeah.
Anywhere on the pitch.
Studs showing. It's a penalty.
So it's a penalty.
Very
and I'll tell you
just
what.
Simply because his studs were showing.
And I'll tell you now, all the shit before the match about the ref, I think he was one of the best referee performances of the tournament.
Yeah, it was.
I don't think he had any goddamn choice for it to be one of the best no, refereeing displays.
What I mean is, I can't think of either side having a decision where I thought, oh, that was a bit dodgy.
I liked Van Dijk's interview afterwards.
I liked
where
the
they
Pickford.
Asked him about the ref.
Yeah.
And Van Dijk just went, you're just trying to get me into trouble. I don't see the point in answering.
Yeah.
I don't even see the point in you asking that question after the game.
There was a funny moment in the game. It was probably in the top three or four highlights of the game. And I've been known to not like that VAR specialist that ITV have on the game.
Oh, Ante.
Yeah, and it was very amusing listening, going, it's not a penalty, VAR won't entertain it. And then it was like, VAR are looking at it. It was like, well, it's they're going to look at it and they're going to clear it. And then all of a sudden it's like, he's been sent to a monitor and she's like, oh, they're going to recommend that the on-field decision is correct, no penalty. And then it's like given as a penalty. And I was like proper like, yeah, you ain't got a clue. I've been saying it for a long time that she's just annoying and stuff like that. I'll probably keep my actual wording.
Yeah,
same. My actual wording was would be very controversial.
I can imagine it was quite harsh.
But no, it was absolutely hilarious.
I don't know how you can look at a challenge, right, where, yes, he went in genuinely to win the ball.
Yeah.
And I believe that wholeheartedly. Yes, he went in genuinely just to stop conceding a goal. I believe that too. But he went in stood showing.
Yeah.
And you cannot do that on a football pitch. Whether you are in the box or on the halfway line or on a training pitch. Our manager on Sunday League was pissed 90% of the time and he'd have given a foul if we went and stood showing. And he didn't even know what fucking day it was half the time. Stood showing, it's a foul, end of story. Now, Holland now are not saying it wasn't a penalty. They're saying that Saka handballed it first.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Apparently, it doesn't. The motion of a ball doesn't even change.
I actually think it does hit his hand.
Do
but
you?
That wasn't even looked at during the game. I didn't even know that was a thing.
No, I didn't know that. Until
3 days after the game had finished.
I know.
So it's like, well, if you're not going to look at it during the game, you can't now blame England and say, well, England have screwed us over because of this, that and the other. It wasn't English officials that were officiating that game.
Well, maybe they need to get that stickometer.
Well, they could have used it, couldn't they? That would have told them yes or no whether it hit his hand or not.
Yeah.
But again, it didn't go in. And the only way it gets automatically disallowed is if the ball goes in and it's a goal. And it came off another body part because it hit his stomach first and then went onto his arm. So that, in the rules of the game, is not a penalty.
Yeah. Perhaps that's why they didn't even bother looking at it.
Maybe so. If it had gone in, then they'd have
disallowed it.
Because
you don't see everything in the international, do you?
Because obviously they've changed the rules of football now. If you score, it's one rule. And if you don't score, it's another rule.
If you're defending, it's
because
another rule.
That's bloody normal.
If you're attacking, it's one rule. If you're defending, it's another rule.
It should just be, is it intentional? Yes, no. End of story. Done.
Is your hand in a natural position?
Bloody stupid, isn't it?
So if your arm's sticking up in the air above
your head. It wasn't even
natural
position years ago. It was it intentional? Yes or no? That was it. There was no natural position or unnatural position. I don't even think that was a saying in football 25 years ago. Did you intentionally handle the ball? I don't think you did. That's not foul. Didn't matter where you were on the pitch.
Yeah.
If you thought it was intentional, it was a free kick or a penalty.
Yeah.
Simpler times. Much simpler times.
Bit like his on Friday night. No way was that a handball.
I didn't give a shit if it was.
I think that was slightly a humble. You were about 12 yards outside your area.
He didn't have a chance to move his arms. It was kicked at him quite
hard. And my hand was here.
I didn't give a free kick.
I think you'd have just said it because it's him.
Yeah.
That's not the point.
And as I,
and still
as
give
I,
it.
And as I pointed out, they'd had two fucking offside goals allowed, so I was like, bollocks to him.
Yeah, I suppose you're wrong about that as well. But, yeah, so apparently Ricardo Calafiori, whatever his name is, I don't know his full name, his left back, apparently that's all done now. He's signed, sealed, and he's on his way to Arsenal.
Yeah.
Why?
Why not?
Kivior.
Timber.
Tomiyasu.
Yeah.
And Timber. All very, very, very capable left backs.
Who's going?
Kivior's probably going to go to AC Milan.
Yeah.
Which, if you're giving me the choice, out of the three of them, Kivior would be the one that I said, if one of them's to go, I'd rather it was Kivior. I don't want to lose Timber, and I don't want to lose Tomiyasu, because I think they're both brilliant, and they can both play left, right, or centre.
Yeah.
So they're more versatile. Kivior can't play on the right.
I've got to be honest, I've not heard of the player that you're signing.
No, I haven't heard of him, and when I saw his picture of him in an Arsenal shirt, didn't recognise him either.
Yeah,
so am I excited about signing somebody that we've already got three people in that position for? Not really. We could do with a striker. But the one striker I want has just put us into the final of the European Championships.
Added another
20 million onto his price tag. So it's even less likely that we're going to buy him now. Although Arteta probably isn't looking at a striker, because according to Arteta, we clearly don't need one. We need more defenders. Why does he think we need to shore up the defence? Because he's just signed a fucking shit goalkeeper. We wouldn't need all the extra defenders if he'd bought a decent keeper or just left Ramsdale in there. Bellend.
Oh, dear.
I think someone's up.
And, so, Southampton have signed a right-back this morning. Sagawara. He's a Japanese international, been playing for AZ Alkmaar for the last three or four
years. I don't know who that
is,
so have you signed him for the shirt sales or for the player?
I think we'll have signed him for the player.
Right.
Maybe.
I'm only asking because I don't know who it is. Yeah. Tottenham signed Son for the shirt sales, and it turns out he's amazing.
I absolutely agree, but I think Son is amazing.
So he's one of the best in the Premier League over the past
Son
few
is
years.
The youngest goal scorer in the Asian Cup at 18 years old.
Yeah, didn't know that.
But I was looking to see the youngest players from the stats
Asian
earlier.
Cup.
That's why I was looking.
Because of the Yamal thing.
Because obviously he's youngest, if you count the World Cup as well, because he's beat Pelé's record. But there are two younger players that have scored, and they're both in Copa America and
Asia.
And no.
Oh.
AFCON. Yeah.
Of course, because they're known
they're both
for their
16
and
they're just
in the AFCON. That,
yeah. I think that's the youngest at 16 and 82 days or something like that. Not a player that we've heard of.
Jesus Christ, literally interrupted his exams to go out and score in the AFCON.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But no, so I think we've signed him because we potentially need a right back, because obviously Kyle Walker-Peters in the last year of his contract. So now that we've signed a right back, I'm quite happy that if Walker-Peters isn't going to sign a 3-4 year contract extension, I'd rather sell him for money now, as he's one of the assets that is worth something. He'll do a good job for a team. Will it be part of the Downs deal? Because obviously we really need a centre mid. Obviously we know Downs is the number one. West Ham want Walker-Peters. So is this right back signing the trigger of a few more potential deals? Because obviously they wouldn't want to let Walker-Peters go without a replacement.
You are going to be signing more players. You're not going to go into the Premier League with the same team you had last season.
Well, put it this way. Our signing so far has been a left-back in Charlie Taylor, two centre-backs in Ronnie Edwards and Nathan Wood, and a right-back in Sagawa. So our weakest part of our season was our defence. So we've literally gone out and we've bought
so,
in every
so
single
far,
position.
So far, you're quite happy with your transfer window.
Obviously, Stuart Armstrong has left. Adam Lallana's come in. I think that's a very similar sort of deal. Lallana's come in for a lot of experience.
I was going to say, he's got a lot more experience.
He knows the club. He's got a lot more experience, so I think he's going to help the youth players in the team. So I'm okay. I'm okay with that. I look at it now that we need a goalkeeper, maybe a couple midfielders, and a striker. Che Adams can just do one, because if he doesn't want to sign a new contract,
Che Adams do one.
They keep saying there are continued talks because he's a free agent at the moment. He's simply looking to find out what else is out there before committing. Which, okay, but it's not exactly going to set the Premier League alight.
How long has he been a free agent? Since the end of June?
The season, yeah.
So since the end of June?
Yeah.
And we're, 2 weeks further on now? If he was that popular, he'd be gone.
Yeah.
If he was wanted,
that's
he'd be
what
gone.
Worries me. That.
So he's obviously not that great in the first place, is he?
Don't
mean to be offensive or anything.
Danny Ings, absolutely right decision that we've pulled out the deal. He wants too much money in wages, so let him... He left for money, so, and the reason he won't be coming back is money. So
agreed.
We don't want a player like that. And I absolutely love the fact that the club sticks to their wage structure and they won't break the bank just for one player. Because as soon as you do it for one player, every other player at the club knocks on the door. You know, like the whole Roy Keane scenario. I've got to be the most expensive. I've got to be on the highest wage. So he didn't care if a player came in like a Varon coming and goes, I'm going to be the top earner now, because then all the other players with their contract stipulations, they go up.
Yeah.
And I bet you there's a lot more of them contracts in football than we know about.
Arsenal had that years ago with Wenger, because he had a pay structure and all the fans were criticising it. Right. And then as soon as Wenger goes, we've now got 10 players that we want to sell and we can't because they're on too high a wage.
Yeah.
It swings around about.
Like your parties and stuff like that.
We got Party, you got Nketiah, Nelson. People won't sign them because the wages are way too high. Nketiah's on about 90 grand a week.
And he's nowhere near.
Nobody else is going to want to pay him anywhere near that.
Probably half.
If he's lucky. And if he is down to the Championship, it won't even be 45 grand a week. He's probably talking 20. So we're going to struggle to get rid of him. And that's why we end up giving players away for free. Because they're more likely to give him the wages that he wants if they're not signing him for any money. And this is where Arsenal screw themselves over, because they're paying average players, Raya, way too much money to do absolutely nothing.
I think that's one of the problems, though. It's like bringing up Che Adams, for example. How many did he score for you last season?
I think he was near top three scorers in the half club. He probably got about 8, 9, something like that, right, in the Championship. It's not.
So
he was being kept out of the team by Adam Armstrong.
This is what I was about to say. You got Armstrong, who set the Championship up. He was fantastic. And I've got to be honest, he was fantastic. He's never proven himself at the Premier League level, which is sort of like, you do see these strikers.
Bedford.
I'm not going to say Bedford because he was League One. But let's go with the likes of, and I know people are going to try and moan at me on this one, but when someone had the same debate with me, I pointed out that Chris Wood had a better Premier League goal scoring stat than this guy. But everyone seems to have this imagination that
he's
better.
Are you going to go Norwich?
I'm going to go Mitrovic.
Yeah.
Mitrovic
his
was
first season
phenomenal
in the, Premier
was in the Championship.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. In the Premier League, he wasn't actually as good as you think he was.
I was thinking Pukki.
Pukki, again, yeah. I wasn't even thinking of him. Phenomenal in the Championship, disappears in the Premiership. You get a lot of these strikers who don't cut it in the... even better example, Gale. Newcastle loaned him out every year. He's top goal scorer, getting teams promoted. And then he'd go back down to Championship. You've got these strikers who are Championship standard. But then you've got these strikers like Adams, who thinks he's Premier League standard. He's not. If anything, he needs to go back to Scotland. Because...
Wow, not even League One level.
He's never even been to Scotland yet, but he's got to go back.
Well, he's Scottish, so you know what I mean? But someone like Rangers, he'd probably do a decent job.
A decent job.
Maybe Motherwell or Hibs.
Motherwell, oh my God.
Or Dundee. Or how much lower can I go? Kilmarnock.
That's literally Tin Ribs going, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but...
He's now ruining our Scottish fan base.
If we'd we have be annoyed one. If you joined our local Sunday League side.
But you've got a guy who thinks he's a Premier League striker. How many seasons was he in the Premier League?
Probably about 2 or 3 years. Yep. And it took him a long time to score a goal for yep. us. And the one he did score was an absolute worldie. It was that lob at Man City.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Everyone scores worldie. I'm going to stand on this hill and I will die on it. But Patrick Bamford has scored the best goal the FA Cup has ever seen.
I reckon
it was a pretty good goal.
Travis Sinclair would have something to say about that.
I think Bamford is better.
I still reckon Travis Sinclair would have something to say about that.
He probably would.
But I reckon Ryan Giggs would probably have something to say about that.
I reckon you can keep pipe down because I know which goal you're on about. And that was shit. Nobody challenged him.
But I'm going to die on this hill. Because keep in mind, I'm not a massive Bamford fan. But that long ball, the control on the chest, the turn, top corner, from that range, just phenomenal. That goal is unreal. So it just goes to prove it doesn't matter.
Amazing finish.
So it doesn't matter how good you are. Everybody has got it in their locker to score a screamer. Everyone's got it in their locker to score a worldie. It's whether they can do it on a regular basis.
I'm trying to piss on my bonfire now because I feel like I've scored a couple of good goals in the past.
But what I'm saying is, Adam scored a worldie and it still didn't put him on the map. He couldn't cut it in the Premiership and he can barely cut it in the Championship. And he's holding out for this
Premier League. He's
holding out for a Premier League move. He's never going to get it. And unfortunately, I don't think Southampton's board have got the bollocks to turn around and go, you know what? You didn't want to sign a contract. Fuck off.
No, I don't think they have.
I generally don't think they have. And I think they need to. I think they need to literally turn around and go, you had no interest in signing for us when there's a possibility we weren't going to make Premier League. I think you need to go.
You haven't signed the contract as soon as promotion was guaranteed.
Yep.
You know, Taylor Harwood Bellis, like, celebrating literally hours after the final whistle goes, he's celebrating the fact that he's got his permanent transfer. You know, that's the kind of player we want in a club, not a player that's like, I'm going to see what my options are.
Yeah.
And,
I mean,
and unfortunately, as the weeks and weeks go on, I've got a feeling that they're going to announce it as one big thing, like Che Adams stays. It's like
fans' lives matter. No, sorry. Right, I think what we're going to do now is we're going to get a break because we've done our 30 odd minutes now, and we shall be back with you lovely, lovely people very soon. Hello, hello, and welcome back to part two of Sunday League Pundit Show, episode 38. We've had quite a long break this time because we've been sorting out and trying to get prepared and ready, because after this we have got the final of the Euros 2024 between England and Spain.
Go on, England.
My prediction is England will run out 3-1 winners. Your prediction, Jim Jam?
I really want to be wrong.
Okay.
So, but I think it might be 1-0 Spain.
1-0 Spain. Right, bring the hate, everybody. Tin Ribs.
I've got two scores. I've got what I think, and then I've got what I want.
Right, what do you think? And we'll go with that.
3-1 Spain.
So, oh my God, you're all horrible. Tin.
I'm optimistic and I want 2-1 England, but...
3-1. I want 2-0 England.
And Jim... What have you gone for, Jim? You've gone for 1-0, did you?
Yeah.
And me, being the ever optimist, I've gone 3-1 England. Easy win, no problem. Foden with the first goal, Saka with the second, Watkins come on, get the third, happy days, 3-1, jobs are good, and lift the trophy. Southgate gets a knighthood that he didn't deserve in any way, shape or form, and we then put up with him for another 15 years.
I want a Harry Kane hat-trick.
Right, I wanted to talk about pricing in football. And the reason I wanted to talk about pricing in football is friendly games. Now, friendly games over here are quite expensive still. They're not the 60, 70 quid that a league game would cost. But they're still quite expensive. Now, my daughter's 5 and she has a lollipop man. I don't know what they're meant to be called these days, but he's a lollipop man.
I think lollipop man is still acceptable.
And his name's Vinny. Right, I talk to him quite a lot. Really nice guy. He's a Villa fan.
Yeah.
Now, he is taking his kids over to Germany for a Villa friendly. Villa's first friendly, apparently, is in Germany. How much do you think the tickets have cost him?
Who was in charge of the price?
Right, I'll tell you that his tickets are one adult and one child. And it's obviously the friendlies in Germany.
I'm quite interested in this because Leeds have got all their friendlies in Germany. Well, a bunch of them. However, because of the Euros, they're all behind closed doors because all the police have been given extra time off.
Yeah, so this isn't till well after the Euros that Villa have got a friendly.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go with per ticket, £45.
£45 per ticket?
Yeah.
Okay.
I reckon he's probably paid £10 as an adult and the child's got him free.
So you think a tenner for both?
Yeah.
Right. £14 for both.
Really?
£14. £7 each.
But don't Germany
£7 for a ticket.
Don't Germany have like rules on how much you can charge per ticket?
Because they are 49% fan-owned.
Yeah.
So they can't rip fans off like they do over here. And do you know what annoys me the most? The most annoying thing? Most of a club's revenue does not come from ticket sales.
Well, obviously
not. Comes from TV.
Yeah.
So why are they ripping fans off? They don't need to rip fans off. It's just greed.
Well, it's like the Premier League away tickets are capped at £30 in the Premier League. It's obviously not got filters down. So the Championship is more expensive than the Premier League for tickets.
Crazy. It's crazy. And I think the overcharging for fans, and like now, £90 to buy a shirt and have it delivered. £90. And they wonder why like 90% of people now are going to DHgate, or they're going to buy their football shirts from Turkey or wherever it is they go on holiday, and they've got these people walking around. It's because you're ripping us off.
I'll be honest, I will most likely be buying a Southampton shirt this year, as I do every year, and I will probably pay whatever price it is.
They're ripping you off.
I wait till the sale.
I
will have it for the season.
I will openly admit that I will buy my shirts off DHgate, or I'll go and buy them in Turkey or wherever he's doing them for a tenner a shirt, because I refuse to pay £90 for a football shirt. I think it's absolutely disgusting what they're charging for shirts.
Now, whether if a shirt comes in at £90, it might be questionable. I think last season's was £55, which is getting there.
£90 with delivery, so like £82 or something it was. Because we run a competition, didn't we, on Facebook?
So it'll be
and
tough.
When I bought the winner the shirt, it was £90 for the shirt and delivery.
But it's quite amusing, the shirt at the moment, because you see everything that Southampton put on X at the moment. It's like, when's the new shirt out? When's the new shirt out? When's the new
seen
shirt
that a lot,
out?
Because like, on our podcast page, we're following a lot of Southampton and Leeds and Arsenal sites. It's just constantly popping up on there.
Yeah.
Like, even Leeds are quiet at the minute, and all we've got is Saints fans going, when's the shirt? When's the shirt? When's the shirt? When's the shirt? When's the shirt?
We're signing players. We care more about the shirt.
Leeds fans are more interested in the away shirt, because I think it was around January, Adidas announced, and it was literally a picture of the Adidas badge with a, like a background, like a border, yellow. And they said, we've listened. Because for years and years, Leeds fans have been screaming for a yellow away shirt. And then just before...
Like back to the days of Tony Yeboah, didn't he have a yellow away shirt when he was there?
All the way up to the point where we got relegated in the Premiership, we had the Strongbow shirt, the yellow one. But
I
love yellow shirts.
Yeah. So everybody wants this yellow shirt. So Adidas leaked this. It was like a like your header sort of thing, yellow with a blue Adidas symbol, and they said, and it, the tagline was, "We are listening." And then just before they released the home shirt, there was a lot of speculation about the badge changing. And Adidas said,
you spoke to me about that.
Yeah. So yeah. Adidas said that they like to do this whole retro homage to badges, and a lot of people thought it was going to happen on the home shirt. So when the home shirt was released with the normal badge, everyone was sort of like, oh, it looks like we're getting a retro-style badge on the yellow away shirt.
That's so that very is, popular.
Oh, this is the one that everybody's like, we need this shirt. We can't wait. And they're very eagerly anticipating this yellow shirt. And people are linking. There was do you remember the old Smiley badge? The LU Smiley from the 70s? Well, on one of our releases for for the fixtures was in the top corner.
Yeah, you sent us that on the thing,
and it had the board. It looks amazing. So everyone hopes that that's the badge on a yellow shirt.
I hope it's blue.
But if they, why do you hope it's blue?
Just to annoy him.
And all the other.
Imagine if it's red, it'll really annoy him.
No, it'll annoy the people
it's
who...
It's a copy of the United Home shirt.
Yeah.
It's you know just what? Got Leeds
the only people that's going to annoy is the people that are banging on about the fact that red shouldn't be on the Leeds shirt, despite the fact in the 70s we had a red shirt that we played against Juventus in.
Seen the picture. Yeah. And you've had quite a few sponsors over the years that have got red in it.
Absolutely.
Actually, sponsors that... Red is in the title of the sponsor as well.
And then they're getting all pissy because Red Bull have Red Bulls on a lead shirt. It's mind-blowing. I don't get it.
Is it, though, in this day and age? No. Is it mind-blowing? Well, the amount of vegetables that we've got, like, that we allow access to the internet and social media, is it really that surprising?
No, actually, no.
It's a nice kit, though. The Red Bull looks smart.
You know what? Considering it's, and I'm going back to the whole, it's the Adidas shirt. Yeah, I actually quite like it. But I think from all the Adidas ones I've seen, I'm going to really hate saying this, but I think the best one I've seen in that Adidas format is the Scotland kit. I really like the Scotland home shirt.
Mm. Now, I really think they should have changed the name as well, be called RB Leeds United.
No. Do one. Get out.
I know a few years ago, before Sports Republic got took over, I know there was talk that Red Bull were going to do Southampton, and
Red Bull have been trying to get hold of Leeds for the last 6 years.
Yeah. They were trying to get hold of a club.
Yeah. They've been trying to get us since just before Radziani took over. And then they tried to get shares off Radziani. And then they sort of entered a whole thing to try and get it. So they've wanted Leeds for a long time. But one of the agreements is they don't get to change any naming rights. There's no Ellen Road change. There's no Leeds United change.
Well, you mentioned Ellen Road. That's there's the ownership change, isn't there?
Yep, we now own it. Yeah. We now officially own Ellen Road.
God, that's been a long time in coming, hasn't it?
Radziani bought it, but he had to set up because Leeds didn't have the exact coffers to own it. What he had to do was set up a secondary company in order to own Ellen Road. So he was the owner. Now, Leeds United own Ellen Road. It is our ground. And that's all part of the 49ers' idea to mass extend and renovate and change. So, happy days.
Just got to get promoted now.
Yeah. Mind you,
the 49ers were the direct rivals of our owners?
I think they might be, you know.
Because our owners is LA Rams.
Yes.
So your owners are direct rivals to our owners, but just on a different continent.
And Fulham's will be the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's about as far as I can go at this moment in time.
And the Glazers are
very popular, from what I can gather.
I'm trying to remember who they are.
They are loved worldwide, apparently.
I've got Houston in my head, but I don't think that's right.
No. But they do own
I'm going to have to Google it. Now I'm not using my phone for everything.
So
I can actually start
we'll move
Googling
on while he... There we go.
He's done it.
Do you know what? That wouldn't have gone off because it's the phone I've had to bring in to sort the other thing out.
Yes.
We got him.
God damn it.
A bit of Leeds transfer news. Kamara's off to Rennes. 10 million. Yeah. I think we bought him in for like 1.5.
Yeah.
So, nice little profit. I think Rangers get a little bit of money. Say again?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Bucks, yeah.
And Manchester United.
Yeah. That's not really very close to Houston.
First Allied Corporation and HRG Group, whatever the hell they are.
Yeah,
I
don't know.
I assume they're quite lucrative.
So, he's gone. And we've bought in from Bournemouth, Josh Rothwell?
Joe Rothwell.
I've seen all the... Obviously, they're quite bigging him up with doing training videos. Or something. He looks actually quite good.
So did Mike Tyson on his 30-second training videos. That doesn't mean a 60-year-old's going to be able to get into a ring and punch.
Like I said to you, I'm not saying he's a bad player because he did okay for us. You know, he scored one goal of a season. I mean, that was a belter for Southampton. That is not.
Yeah,
he
was on loan
at
Southampton.
I think he scored 4 goals in total. And he played okay, but towards the end of the season, he wasn't he wasn't starting, he wasn't getting in the team, he didn't make many he made some sub appearances at the end, last 20 minutes of a game. Obviously he had a huge impact when we played Huddersfield when we were losing, and he changed the game for us.
I'm not going to lie, I don't think he's a bad acquisition for us. And the reason I say that is our midfield went two directions, backwards and sideways. We had Kamara, who doesn't know how to go forward. The guy's a crab. We had Gruev, who is decent, but he very rarely went forward. And then we had Archie Gray, who sat on the wing. And then we had Ampadu, who did go forward, sat at the back. I think bringing an actual attacking style number eight, who will go forward, I think he's actually what we probably need. I think he's a good replacement. He gives us that something extra that we didn't have last season. And I know there are people out there who don't like Daniel Farke, but I actually rate him. And I've seen plenty of times where people have highlighted goals where Norwich, even down to Leeds last season, I think we had like 24 touches before we scored, sort of thing. There was a Norwich goal. Every single player in the pitch touched the ball before they scored. He does play good football, and he's a good coach. He does get quite good results out of players. We've also brought up a lad who even Archie Gray has said is phenomenal. He's a Welsh international already. He hasn't played for Leeds seniors, and he's been brought into the senior team this year, the same as Archie was brought
in. Does that not say more about Wales than it does about Leeds, then?
But yeah,
Leeds and Wales are in partnership at the moment, though.
No, we do seem to be.
I think they're sponsored by Wales.
Literally do have half their team. But Charlie Crewe, he's been brought through. And so is another.
Really annoyed when they've got a red dragon on their shirt, aren't they, next year?
But yeah, so we haven't done massive amounts of trades so far. We're still shipping people out and getting the books level. But I'm actually feeling quite confident. And we've just been linked with Bogle from Sheffield United, right back, apparently.
Jesus Christ, and there's Arsenal. We've signed Raya and potentially signed a left back, which I'm not sure whether that's actually been confirmed or not. I believe it has, but I don't know. So, two positions that we didn't need.
Yeah. And we're signing players that we do need. So annoying. So, I'm actually quite happy. I'm actually quite happy where we are at the moment.
Why can't we just go out and sign Watkins? Just do the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, this is our best window for as long as I can remember.
I watched an interview, right, with Ollie Watkins. And it's, albeit, quite an old interview. And he literally stood there in this interview saying it would literally be a dream for me to go and play for Arsenal. It's just something I've always wanted to do since I was a kid. Why are we not signing the guy? He's clearly better than what we've got. He would make a massive difference to the Arsenal team. Why is that not just a given? We'll go and get Watkins.
For me, when we chose Bamford over Watkins, I think was one of the biggest mistakes of the Bielsa era.
But it sounds like West Ham are a bit gutted.
You know it was one of the biggest mistakes of the Bielsa era. You don't think it was.
Well, West Ham were going to sign Watkins as well, and it says it's David Moyes' biggest regret that they didn't go full out and sign him as Antonio's replacement, because he was linked with them heavily before going to Villa as well. So it looks like a lot of teams are ruined not signing Watkins. So I guess that brings us in nicely, as in the first half of this, we talked about first half of England, and we didn't mention the second half much. So obviously, Netherlands came out and they changed the way they played a bit. So we talked about how well Foden played in the first half. Now, Foden wasn't as effective in the second half.
He was very quiet, wasn't he, second half? I think he was knackered, if I'm honest.
Knackered, or did Netherlands see him as a threat and double-manned him and kind of took him out of the game a little
maybe
bit?
Maybe a bit of both. Maybe a bit of both. He's played a lot of football.
So Southgate made his substitutions,
which I agreed with.
And he took off Foden, which was absolutely the right thing to do, because he was out the game.
I would agree.
And obviously took off Harry Kane. Absolutely the right decision for Watkins.
Unpopular opinion? I don't think Harry Kane should start in the final.
It's not an unpopular opinion.
I think he's been...
It genuinely isn't an unpopular opinion. Literally everything I read says Watkins starts.
But do you want the impact subs with tired of legs like Palmer and Watkins did against the Netherlands?
I'd want to start with Watkins and use Tony as an impact.
Yeah. So Watkins is using his energy to run behind the Spanish defenders.
He will absolutely.
They're going to create chances.
He'll tear him to pieces. He'll knacker him out, and then Tony will come on and bully him for the last 15 minutes. Kane is not a bully, and he doesn't get in behind. So Tony's got something Kane hasn't, and Watkins has got a lot that Kane hasn't.
I never saw Watkins playing at centre-back either.
No.
Or dropping deep. Mid.
He just stands up and he makes forward runs.
Waits for it.
Which, as you two well know, is what I want my forwards to do.
And Palmer
played.
Is to
stand up front and make forward runs.
Palmer played a brilliant ball through.
That was a lovely ball.
And it turned.
Very, very well taken. His first touch was exquisite.
And then it went in. And my daughter was asleep on me at the time. She woke up a bit like, what's going on? I mean, it didn't take long to go back asleep in my arms after I stopped bouncing. Because you may have seen on previous videos, I do have an issue sitting down when goals go in.
Yeah, we've seen that. if you check YouTube out, right, if you go, just head to the shorts. And if you go back to
Man
United played Liverpool, we did just a watch along of the last bit of that game. We just caught the last bit of the game, and we did a watch along of the Liverpool United FA Cup game when Ahmed scored that winner in like the 97th minute or whatever it was, and we all went nuts. But I remained seated, whereas these two clowns were jumping around like monkeys. he just left. I don't know what happened with Jim John. The goal went in. Next thing, he's not even in the same house. He'd gone. He was off. It was,
but yeah, that's kind of... Times. So I'm hoping I'm going to be doing a lot of disappearing off the camera later on.
Yeah, it'd be nice. We are going to live stream this one, I think. And just hope for the best, really.
Yeah.
And just hope England win. They were so disappointing against Italy that I'm hoping that has... annoyed everyone in the England camp enough that they're really going to want to push forward and do something special.
Absolutely, because, like I say...
I guess you never know, do you?
I mean, I did watch a clip earlier, and it was Cucurella versus Saka.
Yes, I saw that as well.
Cucurella was doing really well in that game.
Doing very
stopping
well.
Saka, so I really hope he doesn't do that tonight.
To be fair, though, Saka still got past him. And he's still got chance after chance. Because with Arsenal, the right-hand side is constant.
Yeah.
Whereas England break it up a bit. They'll go left, right, left, right, left, right, even though the left is fairly useless when Shaw's not on. But Arsenal just batter that right-hand side and they just send Saka permanently. And then they wonder why Saka's knackered by the end of the season. It's like, because he's the only one you use to attack. It's like everything goes down Arsenal's right-hand side. Because like everyone sort of found Martinelli out a little bit and... No, I hate to say it, but Martinelli's not looking as good now as he was a year and a half ago. They seem to have caught him out, and he seems to be a bit of a one-trick pony at the moment. I can't believe I'm saying that because I love Martinelli. But he has struggled last season.
But he's going to... Are you basically saying he's a squad player now?
Well, you know, if the boots fit.
So you would want a new... left-sided. Yeah. No.
Trossard. I'd start Trossard. I think he's phenomenal. I love Trossard. But I now would start Trossard over Martinelli right now.
Yeah.
Because Martinelli was getting caught out time after time after time. And as an impact sub, Martinelli's one of the best. Are you still pissing about with the shirts?
Yes. Sorry.
He hasn't put his phone on once during this podcast yet.
Oh, well. That's because he's off camera. He can just sit there.
Yeah, that'll be all them emails going, will you just, that guy that's not going, will you shut him up? I'll talk some crap in, you know.
Yeah, just give me a task to do and I'll just sit here quietly and do it.
I'll sit here quietly and do it, he says, after starting a podcast, which is audio medium.
Here we go, here's something that, so there's been a rule change as well for this Euros now, regarding the golden boot.
Oh, if they're even at the end, it then goes to who's got the most assists. Is that the rule you're on about?
Yeah, not anymore. It's now goals only and it will be shared. So if Kane and Olmo do not score, it's going to be shared amongst like six players at the moment. They've got rid of the assists and minutes played, etc. now.
That's crazy.
So there will be, so where you used to have one Golden Boot winner, not this year. They've changed it.
That's pathetic. I wouldn't want to be one of six. It would mean less.
Well, it's like where they share the Golden Boot in the Premier League, isn't it? It's like...
Doesn't mean as much.
No.
Congratulations, you were just as good as the other guy.
Yeah, I mean, as a guy that used to play as a striker...
You want to score the
very,
most.
It's a very, very, very selfish position, being a striker. Very selfish. The amount of times I've even scored goals before now and then apologised to my strike partner because he was in a better position. I just didn't want to pass him the ball. You're aware of it. You were my keeper for like 4 or 5 years. Could even been a bit longer than that.
So you'd be quite happy at the moment that Olmo would take the Golden Boot over Harry Kane?
Yeah, just give it one person. I think it's trying to say that if he's here. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's my 5-year-old telling us that the food that we ordered at half time is here.
So
we'll be in 2 minutes. Yeah, that's my 5-year-old just letting us know that the food's here.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that means 7. Time to like wrap it up, I suppose.
Yeah.
If there's anything else.
Was there anything else anyone wanted to say?
I mean, I suppose we could, it's a little bit shorter than usual, so we will apologise. But on the plus side, we are now going to go and sort out and try and get the live stream sorted. So although it's a slightly shorter podcast than usual, we are working harder than usual because we've now got to go into a different building and set up again to then start a live stream. So we are busy, 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 and we're trying to put content out. And I don't know if I've mentioned this, but it's free to subscribe on YouTube, and TikTok, and Facebook. Join us on Facebook. We've only got 73 followers on Facebook. I think we need more love on Facebook. Go to Facebook, Sunday League Pundit Show, in the groups. Join us. We put as much content out as we can. We do tend to put quite a bit of content out, I think. We've got nearly 300 videos out on YouTube now, so we've, you know.
It's all those shorts.
I put loads of shorts up, and feel free to come along and abuse us at will, because we quite enjoy it.
My wife's actually been watching the shorts recently, she's told me.
Has she actually?
Yeah,
she has commented on a couple of them, actually.
Yeah.
She's made a couple of comments.
Yeah.
Who's that loser in the England shirt?
I was say, please tell me it's all abuse. It's got to be all abuse.
Who's that loser in the England shirt? Like, that's the guy you married. You know, the one you've got kids with. Oh, yeah, now I remember.
Oh, yeah, that's deadbeat.
That's the one.
Yeah, she bought me a hoodie.
You know, the one that's never in your house because he's always in my shed.
Better do that. She bought me a hoodie from the shop the other day, so I will show it up. She did wear me that. She said, "Oh, you can wear this. I'll get a stretch one as well." And I was like, "You know what? Great thing about the hoodie is though, it's very warm in here. I couldn't sit here for an hour wearing it." So thanks to my wife for me. Present, I have shown it.
I'm not going to clip that. In fact, I might just wipe that out of the whole pod so she never hears the thank you to my wife bit. I edit it so it says not thank you to my wife or something like that.
Yeah, so he's proper in the doghouse for a week.
It's got to be done. Right, thank you very much for joining us this week for the podcast. We really appreciate it. We are about to go and move as much equipment as we need now into a different room to set up for the final. And hopefully you can join us for that. And if not, you'll be able to watch it on YouTube because we will upload it up there. So thank you very much, and we shall be back in your ear holes next week.